Since 1921, the Sentinels of the 3rd United States Infantry Regiment, also known as the Old Guard, have stood guard 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, regardless of the weather, on a hill at Arlington National Cemetery, at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Each guard is required to commit 2 years of service and takes exceptional care of their uniforms, often spending hours each day pressing any creases. And it's all to honor those that gave the ultimate sacrifice, including their identity, to serve our country since World War I. It's the highest regard of honor and reverence there is. And that's just one example of what reverence looks like. But what about reverence to God? What should that look like?
And when you examine the word reverence, all kinds of words pop up in Scripture. Words like awe and fear and respect and wonderment and adoration.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. It seems there's a lack of reverence for, well, anything these days. And today, Charles Tapp shares what reverence is really about and what it means to have reverence for God, as he shares the first part in his series, On Holy Ground, with his message, Holy Dirt.
It has become painfully clear that one of the things that is lacking in many of our churches today is a sense of reverence. Do you agree with that? For whatever the reason, it appears as though this sense of awe and wonderment that we once had for God and all things related to God has somewhat diminished or disappeared altogether. Could it be that whether from week to week you find yourself seated in the pew or standing behind this sacred desk, could it be that neither one of us truly has an understanding, a grasp for what reverence is all about? Do we truly understand what God means when he says that we should reverence him and reverence his sanctuary? For some people think that reverence means being quiet all throughout the entire service and not saying a word. While others believe that reverence means praising God from the top of their lungs and shaking the roof and the rafters. What does God mean when he calls you, when he calls me to reverence him? I want to share today what I believe is probably the greatest illustration in all of Scripture that gives us insight into what God means when it talks about reverence and how we as a people should reverence him. Let's go back to what we read earlier in our Scripture reading, Exodus chapter 3. And we're going to stay there all throughout the message today. Exodus chapter 3, and I want to read just verses 1 to 5 this time. Exodus chapter 3, and I want us to read verses 1 to 5. And I'm reading today from the New King James Version. Look at what the Word of God says. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was what? Not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why does this bush not burn? So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, talking about Moses, here I am. Verse 5. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy, holy ground. If ever there was a powerful illustration of what reverence to God is all about, truly, it is found in this dramatic experience, this dramatic encounter with Moses meeting with God in the burning bush. And if you are like me, you have your favorite stories in the Bible, whether it be Old Testament or New Testament. This happens to be one of my favorite in the Old Testament, probably because as a child, I always had an affinity for Moses, because growing up, I stuttered badly as a child, and Moses stuttered as well. But Moses, the Bible says, was called to this bush. But as familiar as we are with this story, let's not be so quick to just glance through it that we miss out on the essence of what God is trying to say to God's people today. So I want us to just briefly dissect these five verses. First of all, number one, Moses' curiosity drew him to a bush while he was just taking care of business, taking care of the flock of his father-in-law. He married well, didn't he? Secondly, what gets Moses' attention, the Bible says, is a bush that is burning, not simply because the bush is on fire, because you got to remember now, this is the desert, and that kind of thing took place quite frequently. But the thing that drew Moses into this bush was that this bush was not just burning, but as scripture says, it was burning, but for whatever the reason, it was not burned up, it was not consumed. And in verse 4, it says that when he saw that this bush was burning but not consumed, and God finally had his attention, that God called him to the midst of this bush. Now, here's the question I want to ask God's people today. Why did God choose to reveal himself to Moses in such a dramatic way? And the reason I ask this question is because of this. God, whatever he does, he always does it for a reason. Amen? God doesn't just do something arbitrarily. So what was the reason that God chose to reveal himself to Moses in such a dramatic way? Well, there are several reasons, I believe, but I want to share with you my top three. First of all, Moses, I believe, needed to be reminded of the power and the glory of God. Amen? For you've got to remember that Moses now is coming out of Egypt, and God is about to place on him the call to set the people free. So Moses needed to know what kind of God was calling him to such a tremendous journey, to such a tremendous mission. So God placed himself in the midst of that bush and was burning, but it did not burn up, because he wanted to let Moses know just what kind of God he was. You see, this wasn't something that Moses had ever seen before. This is something that he could not duplicate or replicate himself. So God was just trying to get his attention and say, listen, Moses, you want to know who's calling you? It's me. It's the God of the burning bush. Secondly, this bush was to symbolize Moses and the children of Israel and the affliction they had to endure while they were in Egypt. Because they were in Egypt being enslaved by the Egyptian slave masters, and it was the affliction of fire in a sense, but God wanted to let them know that just as this bush has been afflicted with fire and is not burning up and is not being consumed, I am in the midst of my people, and you may be going through some fiery trials, but you will not be consumed, because I am in the midst of you as well. And that's an encouraging word for God's people today, amen? Listen, I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're from. I don't care how much money you have in the bank. I don't care how pristine your attire is as you walked in today. I don't care what kind of smile you've got plastered on your face. Listen, everybody under the sound of my voice today is going through something. Anybody not going through anything? Some of you are going through serious, listen to me, serious financial difficulties. You've got students on this campus right now that have still not cleared financially for school. You've got some who are dealing with chronic illness and chronic pain 24/7. Some of you as parents, your kids are driving you crazy and you're spending all of your time on your knees crying out to God for His intervention. I don't care who you are. Whether you're in the pew or in the pulpit, everybody is going through some kind of fire. And God is telling us from the burning bush today, listen, even though you're in the midst of this fire, you will not be consumed. For I, your God, am with you. The third thing I want to extricate from this story today is I truly believe that in God revealing Himself to Moses in this burning bush, the bush that was not consumed, God wanted Moses to get a picture of who Moses could be if Moses submitted himself completely to God. Think about it. For Moses was one who, although he was the prince of Egypt, Moses stuttered. Moses had a low self-esteem of himself, and God was about to call him to go down to Egypt and free his people. And God was simply telling Moses, listen, look what I can do with this little bush. I can do the same with you. If you let me, I can place a fire within you that nobody will be able to extinguish, that nobody can put out. And isn't that exactly what happened? Didn't he go down to Egypt with that fire? And no matter what Pharaoh tried to do, Moses always came back in the power of God. God is calling somebody to the bush today. God wants to let you know that despite your challenges, despite your struggle, despite what you think you can't be or what you can't do, God said, listen, the life that is completely submitted to me, I will put a fire in you that no one will be able to extinguish, that no one will be able to put out. And did God have a plan for Moses? Yes, he did. In verse 4, it says, God called to Moses from the bush, saying, Moses, Moses. And let's not miss this critical point here, because whenever God called anyone by name in Scripture twice, it was always letting them know that they were at a very critical juncture in their walk with Him, and God was about to present them with a test. So when God cried out, Moses, Moses, He was letting him know, listen, you're at a very critical point in your life, and I've got a test for you, and I want you to go down and be the savior of my people. It was the same thing with Samuel. When he was sleeping one night, God said to him, Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel said, Lord, here am I, send me. It was at a critical juncture in his life, for he was moving from a stage of childhood into a stage of becoming a prophet. And when God called Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, he said, Abraham, Abraham, listen, whenever God calls your name twice, it's because God has a test for you. Somebody right now, God is calling your name, and He's calling it twice. Because God is calling you to the bush, because God's got a plan for your life, and depending on how you respond will not only impact your life, but it will impact the lives of others. Who is God calling today? You know, as a child, I always wanted God to call my name. I had an imagination as a child, and sometimes I would lay in my bed and just pray, God, can you just come by my bed and just call my name? What must that be like? To hear the God of the universe call your name. You see, some of us have gotten so caught up in cultural Christianity that we think our job is to come here and sit on a comfortable pew. God called you to the bush. Listen to me. Because God has a mission for you. I remember when God called me to my bush. I remember like it was yesterday. And if I had decided not to listen to God, I would not be here today. I would be an electrical engineer. But the work of the gospel is priceless. Who says amen? And when Moses received his call, the Bible says he too responded in the affirmative, "Here I am." And in verse 5, it says, then he said, "Do not," talking about God here, "do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground."
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and part one of On Holy Ground. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
When you need prayer, the WGTS 91.9 prayer community is here for you.
You're just seconds away from requesting prayer
or praying for fellow listeners.
And this isn't your average app.
What's special about the WGTS 91.9 prayer community is that when someone prays for you,
you might never meet face to face, but for a few minutes, you are connected to the power of prayer.
Simply download the WGTS 91.9 app and click on When We Pray.
Request prayer.
Pray for others. The WGTS 91.9 prayer community is waiting for you.
This is Simple Truths for Life, and today, Charles Tapp offers a simple explanation of what reverence is really about and what it means to have reverence for God. Let's find out as he shares part one of On Holy Ground, Holy Dirt.
The Bible says he too responded in the affirmative, "Here I am." And in verse 5, it says, then he said, "Do not," talking about God here, "do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Now, there's something strange about this. Why would God call Moses not once, but twice? And after finally Moses responds to God, God now responds to Moses and says, "I know that I called you, but now I don't want you to come." That's like my mother calling me when I was a child. Before they had remote control, she would call me from the second floor to come down and change the channel on the television. "Antoine? Antoine?" And I knew when she said it the second time, I better move. Why would God reveal himself in such a dramatic way, call Moses by name not once but twice, and now that Moses is starting to move in his direction, now he says, "Stop, stay where you are. For the ground that you're on is holy ground. Take off your sandals." Now, some people have said that, well, Moses was told to take off his sandals because his sandals were dirty and you can't bring something that's unclean into the presence of God, but that doesn't really make sense. And I don't know about you, I'm a choleric. Stuff's gotta make sense. You can't just say, well, that's the way it is. Think about it. His shoes, his sandals were dirty because of the what? The dirt. So why would God tell him to take off his sandals and put his bare feet on the dirt, which made his sandals dirty in the first place? I'm just asking. It's got to make sense to me. There's got to be something more to this. You see, God knew that Moses knew that there was a custom, there was a tradition of the priests of Egypt, that whenever they were about to go into the temple, they would take off their shoes and leave them at the door before they would go in. They did that as a sign of respect, in much the same way we as men, when we have on our heads. If I were to walk in this church today with my hat on, you wouldn't say anything. But if I were to walk into the sanctuary, everybody would be going, Why? Because to walk in the house of God, the place of worship, especially the sanctuary, with your hat on is a sign of irreverence. So as men in this culture, we remove our hats before we walk in. But here's the difference. You see, we do this out of respect for the place that we're about to enter, which is completely different from the princes of Egypt. They didn't do it out of respect, please don't miss this, but they did it as a sign of personal confession of their personal defilement and unworthiness. So in other words, they took their shoes or their sandals off, not as a sign of respect for the place, but they felt that they were not worthy to even enter the place. So as a symbol of their unworthiness and their personal defilement, they would take their shoes off or their sandals off and leave them at the door. And this custom is still practiced in many Eastern countries today. So what's the message that God was trying to send to Moses? Here it is. That holiness involves separation. God wanted to send Moses a very clear but yet powerful message that although he was the creator, although he was going to be their deliverer, that he was a holy God. And you have to put holiness and you've got to separate them by distance between humanity. In other words, God was saying to Moses, if you come any closer, my divinity will consume your humanity. And to demonstrate to Moses just how transparent and transcendent, rather, God's holiness is, he told him, listen, not only am I in this bush, but the ground that you are standing on right now is holy ground. Please don't miss this point. God is in the midst of the bush. But his holiness was so transcendent that the ground around the bush also became holy. So God said, take off your feet because you are defiled. So take your shoes off as a symbol that you are now confessing that you don't deserve to be close to me at all. So in other words, he was saying to Moses, the ground that you're on now, that's holy dirt. Now, anybody who knows me knows I love to garden. Amen? Amen. Anybody who knows me, I mean, you really know me. You know I love to garden. Amen? Amen. But you know, the first thing you need to garden, you know what you need? You need dirt. You read the Bible. God did some marvelous things with dirt, did he not? Genesis 2:7, the Bible says God knelt down, formed man out of the dust, that's dirt, of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became what? Living soul. I was just reading a recent study that said there are benefits to gardening because you are getting in the dirt. Now, I know there are benefits because of you getting the exercise and the fresh air and all that, but there's this recent study that came out that says there's a particular bacteria that is found in dirt that has healing properties that can even lower your blood pressure and elevate your mood. They're saying this particular bacteria that is found in dirt has such healing properties, they are now starting to use this particular bacteria to help those who need to be cured from cancer. But as special as dirt is, that's not why God called it holy. God called it holy because wherever God is present, whatever is near to God also becomes holy, including his people, including me, and including you. So God tells him, where you are now standing. A literal translation would really be, that's holy dirt. And by having him remove his sandals, God was trying to instill within him a sense of reverence in all things holy. And when you examine the word reverence, all kinds of words pop up in Scripture. Words like awe and fear and respect and wonderment and adoration. As a matter of fact, I took all these words and I put them together and I looked for one definition or one explanation that really encapsulated all of these words. And I found one I think that comes very close. It says, reverence is taking, listen to this, the incredible knowledge of the majesty of God and applying it to our lives so we will walk with confidence with our Lord and operate with respect to him and to others whom he what? Knows and loves. Don't miss this. God is saying, listen, when you begin to get a glimpse of who I really am, you will become confident knowing that you've got this kind of God on your side. And then you will not only develop a respect for me, but you will also develop a respect for everything that is related to me, which means everything I created, especially human beings who were created in my image. And why is that important? Because when you and I reverence God, we will respect one another. You saw this week on in the news, a video that has gone viral. And when I sat there and watched it on television for the first time, I said to myself, did I really see what I thought I saw? And then they played it again and again and again of a muscular football player in an elevator with his then fiance. And they got into a brief little argument and he hit her so hard, he knocked her unconscious. And that wasn't it. When the doors opened, you saw it. He dragged her out like a piece of meat and just stood over her. I don't know how you were raised. My father told me, don't you ever, as long as there's breath in your body, put your hand on a girl and hit her. I came close. When I was 10 years old, I came close. But I learned the lesson from my father. He said, sometimes, son, you just got to walk away, but I'm walking away with clenched fists, folks. There is no excuse for a man to hit a woman. Ladies, if your husband didn't say amen, how can we have respect? Listen. How can we have respect for one another when we don't have respect for the one who created us? God wants us to respect not only his people, he wants us to respect his places. In Leviticus 19:30, he says, you shall reverence my Sabbath and my sanctuary. And herein lies where I feel most of God's people, here's what we struggle with today. You've heard the saying that goes something like, familiarity breeds contempt. Here's the question I have for God's people today. Have we become so familiar with God that we now see him as being common?
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp, and that's where we'll end part one of his series on holy ground, holy dirt. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on Apple Podcasts and also on Spotify. Or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.com. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
We're so willing to take the easy way out that we're missing where we are right now. The game is about to be over. We either win or lose.
Next week, Charles Tapp takes an honest look at the church and asks whether you're trying to take the easy way out or are you aware of where you are right now? As he shares the next part in this series on holy ground with his message, Goodbye Glory. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.